a desire for connection and collaboration. That is, in some ways, what has driven our next guest from the very beginning of her music career, and it's been a long one. Amy Grant released her first album back in 1977, when she was still in high school. She had a few secular mainstream hits in the 1990s. You may remember the song Baby Baby. Most of Amy Grant's work, though, is unabashedly spiritual, and her name has become synonymous with what's called contemporary Christian pop. Amy Grant visited us in our Washington studios last week to talk about her new album. It's called How Mercy Looks From Here. It was a decade in the making. During that time, she was helping to look after both of her parents who suffered from dementia. Her mother passed away a couple years ago. This album is dedicated to her.
I mean, her mind kind of came and went, and we've laughed endlessly about the time her oldest granddaughter, my niece, Grace, showed up, and Mom was just, you know, giddy, and Gracie said, "What is it, Grando?" And she said, "I think I'm pregnant." And Gracie said, "Dear God, I hope not. You're 79 years old." My mom said, "I am? That's awful."
Let's listen to a song off the new album. This is a track called Here. Let's take a listen to this.
What does all this beauty mean? It captures my attention and I'm speechless. Sunset, Tennessee. Colors burn across the sky. Slowly fading golden rays greet the moon and kiss the day goodbye. And do I understand?
Where did this song come from?
Well, specifically about a sunset. And really, I was listening to it when I was playing just then, and in a broad sense, you know, I love writing about all kinds of things. I've made records for 35 years. But probably underlying all of my intention about making music, because I grew up in a family surrounded by people of faith, I've always seen music as it just seems like the easiest way for people to bypass their preconceived notions of God, religion, all those things, and be deeply affected spiritually. And I think that's the one thing that all people on earth have in common is our spiritual life. Somehow, just always having that potential to say, is it possible in the right song to say something that would make somebody pause and imagine where they fit in the epic plan of God?
You just talked about trying to tap into something universal.
Yes.
Something that everyone can relate to, everyone can feel, something a little bigger than themselves.
Right.
That's not a religious message. That's bigger. It seems like you're trying to reach a broader audience who may not resonate with language that may be more starkly religious.
Religion in America is so polarized politically. For somebody that's just searching, it's fairly repulsive. You know, I don't blame every 18 to 30-something that says, I don't want to walk into a church. I understand, because I have children that range in age from 31, my I Do daughter, Jenny, down to 12. And, you know, in those early years of adulthood, you know, what you think of yourself and what other people think of you is just tantamount to how you feel in a given day.
Did you go through that kind of identity struggle? You seem to have been a person, even from a young age, who knew who you were, or at least that was the public perception.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I have lived a really curious life. I have done things I never dreamed I would do, personally, career-wise, privately, good and bad. I have an insane curiosity that has driven me to experience amazing things and got me in all kinds of trouble. But I just never doubted that God was. I felt found. And that's my prayer for my kids. God, find them the way you found me. And so I was attracted to things. You know, I loved old church hymns. And, I mean, the first picture my mom ever has of me with a book, I think I'm 7 years old. And I have on my PJs and I have an old hymnal opened up. The spiritual realm is wild and endless and purposeful. That's why in songs I will always include messages that I hope compel someone in a quiet moment to say, who are you and do I matter? And beyond that, I trust that people will be found the same way I was.
Lead me to the ones I need, and to the one who's needing me. I won't assume the worst is true, and do the best that I can do. A word of kindness, I believe, is heard throughout eternity. Hey, hey, this is how I greet the day. I greet the day.
When you were young, did you intentionally seek out a career as a Christian pop singer?
No. I started playing guitar in high school. Around that time, I started going to what I affectionately call a hippie church. The preacher was brilliant. He was fluent in Hebrew, and he could, you know, read Greek. He was a professor at a university in town. He was so fun. And my sister started going there, and people would go blue jeans, barefoot, flowers in their hair. It was packed out. They would sit in the windowsills, and it was so exciting, and sometimes my mother would let me go. And the kids were so different there, you know, these kids, a lot of them lived, this church was right beside the projects in Nashville, the Edge Hill community. And so the kids that showed up were from a totally different world. And I was so, it was the first time all of that Bible teaching that I'd gotten as a kid connected in a totally different environment. And I remember standing in the back of the church one time, and this woman, because there was a bar catty corner from the church, and she came and said, "Preacher, I take my clothes off for a living. Can I go to church here?" And he said, "You're welcome to go to church here. You just give your heart to God. He'll tell you what you can and can't do. That's not my place." The reason I say all that is because I started writing songs. I was already singing Joni Mitchell, James Taylor, Carole King, but none of them were singing about some of the really adventuresome things that I was experiencing at this hippie church. So I started writing songs about that.
I go to the temple and I just want to stay, to hide from the hustle of the world and its ways. And I'd love to live on a mountaintop, fellowshipping with the Lord. I'd love to stand on a mountaintop, 'cause I love to feel my spirit.
Let's get back into the new album. And you have a song on here that is more than symbolically about your family. Your family is actually on the song. It's called "Our Time Is Now."
January, February, March, the days are marching forward.
Your dad's on the song, some of your kids are on the song. How did that come to be?
Music has always played such an important part in our family. From the time I was a young kid, I remember my dad going around the house, like, conducting and singing. He has a beautiful voice. We all grew up singing church hymns. When my parents, when their dementia started taking away more and more of their communication and their memories, always the songs they could sing. But the bom, 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 going into the chorus, my dad is one of those voices. I never could have taught him that, but because it's the same melody as Frère Jacques, we just got the right key and set up a microphone just in a seating area. I just would sing Frère Jacques, and my dad, you know, boom, 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 and I. But it took 2 trips to the studio to get that.
Runs out. My time, oh yeah, runs out.
wonder what song on this new album most closely tells the story of where you are now in your professional career.
In the last few years, just through different circumstances, I've learned some really amazing tools in life. The biggest thing is framing difficult circumstances in a way that helps you see the value. It can change everything. And the first time that I really was stopped in my tracks with that experience was when I was really having a throwdown fit one night with a trusted friend of mine. It was late one night. We were outside. This was a few years ago. My mom and dad both needed round-the-clock care, and I'm frustrated and angry, and they didn't deserve this. And my friend, who had already buried both of her parents, she just looked at me and said, "Take a deep breath." And she said, "Don't you see, this is the last great lesson your parents will teach you."
Amy Grant joined us here in our studios in Washington. Her new album is called How Mercy Looks From Here. It is out this week. Thank you so much for being here, Amy.
Such a pleasure. Thanks, Rachel.
You're going to play a track for us off the new album. This is a song called Don't Try So Hard.
Yes. Another Monday comes and I just want to breathe. 'Cause it's a long, long week for someone wired to please. I keep taking my aim, pushing it higher, want to shine bright, even brighter now.
That's Amy Grant playing in our studio. You can hear full performances of the songs Don't Try So Hard and How Mercy Looks From Here at nprmusic.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Rachel Martin, and to all the moms out there, Happy Mother's Day.
Don't think that you're not worth it, because you are. He gave you his love and he's not leaving. Gave you his son so you'd believe it. You're lovely even with your scars. Don't try so hard.